Today we begin our 2 weeks of talking about the giving of our resources to the ministry of the Lord. And I'm doing so this year under the theme of having grace-filled hearts and how that leads us to grace-filled giving. Because God's grace is at the center of all we do as Christians, and it's certainly at the center of our sharing a portion of our wealth for the Lord's work. Radical generosity is a wonderful thing. It's something we don't see all the time. We humans can be very tight-fisted when it comes to what we think is mine. But there is no better example of radical generosity that I can think of than those ancient Christians who lived in Macedon, the poor section of northern Greece, in the time of the Apostle Paul in the mid-first century A.D. Again, here's the situation that's going on in this text. Back in Jerusalem, hundreds of miles away, there is a terrible famine. And the Apostle Paul, as he travels around the churches he has founded in the Mediterranean world, is collecting an offering. He's collecting an offering in cash to take back to Jerusalem so the Christians there can buy food, what food there is to have. And as he travels around, he is promoting this offering. And he's writing to the church in Corinth, which was a wealthy city. We don't know how wealthy the Christians were there, but it was a very wealthy city. But it seems the Corinthians were having a little issue about opening their purses and giving money. And so Paul, to encourage them, talks about the Christians living in Macedon. These Christians who are very poor. These Christians who have very little. But these Christians whom the Apostle Paul says their extreme poverty overflowed in an amazing gift of giving. Because you see, these poor Christians, even though they were dirt poor, they begged for the privilege of giving to this offering. Now, can you imagine how pastors would feel if the congregation says, "Oh, Pastor Paul, Pastor Huddy, could we do another offering today, please? We really want to give more." That doesn't happen a whole lot in the history of the church, and that's why these Christians in Macedon are such an amazing example. The Apostle Paul says of them that they gave as much as they were able, and then they even gave beyond their ability to give. They really stretched the envelope when it came to giving. Paul says, and they did not as we expected, but notice what he says here, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then to us. Before they made the offering, before they gave their money, these Christians living in Macedon did something else. They gave themselves. They gave themselves to the Lord in faith. And because they did that, that enabled them to give themselves to help others, including these Christians back in Jerusalem whom they would never, ever meet. And 2,000 years later, these Macedonian Christians are still the number one role model for all of us when it comes to Christian stewardship. Maybe they didn't give the biggest offering in the history of the church, but they gave the most important one, because 2,000 years later, we're still talking about what they did and how their generosity has influenced, affected, and helped Christians for nearly 2,000 years to be generous givers. This year, we have been talking about Grow in Grace. This has been the year where you've heard a lot about money. And last time we did this was 18 years ago, so not like something you do all the time. But we this year have talked a lot about giving to our capital fund appeal. And through the grace of God and your generosity, nearly $1 million has been pledged to the work of the church for our building program. And that is wonderful. Just last week, someone gave me a very large check for Growing Grace. Over $160,000 has already been given, and that is wonderful. And for the next 2 weeks, this week and next week, we're going to shift our focus on our giving from the Growing Grace campaign to our regular giving, our giving for next year, to the giving for our church budget and all that needs to be done here at Grace in 2015. And I want us all to remember that both aspects of our giving, the Grow in Grace campaign and our regular budget, they are pieces of the same puzzle. They go together. They are not separate and distinct entities completely. This is part of us as a congregation working toward our future goal. It's not one or the other for us. Both work together so that we, the people of God, may continue to truly grow in grace and do the work of the gospel. And I pray that there has been a lot of excitement among our members. This has been a fun year at Grace. This has been a fun year. A lot of good stuff has happened. It has been great to see the excitement. But we need to remember that there is a lot of hard work ahead. But it's good work, and it's godly work. The Apostle Paul writes about these Macedonian Christians that they had overflowing generosity. It wasn't just a trickle of generosity. They turned the faucet on full, and the sink overflowed. They were excited about giving, and it is wonderful when Christians get excited about giving. Again, what does Paul say about them? They gave as much as they were able to give, and then they gave beyond their ability to give. They stretched themselves when it came to giving. They didn't say, well, this is what we've always done, so this is what we'll always do. They didn't say, well, what's the least I can do? They stretched themselves and grew in their giving. And what they did, I think, truly echoes this wonderful quote I found as I was working on my sermon, that we need to create a life that feels good on the inside and not just one that looks good on the outside. God wants to change our inside. He wants to change our heart, soul, and spirit. And that's what these Christians can tell us. This is just a list of the words that Paul uses with regard to these Christians in Macedon. And I love that he uses the word abundant, overflowed, privileged, voluntary, beyond. Those are the positive, wonderful words that hold up what these Christians did so long ago. Their gifts still teach and inspire and motivate Christians today. And I think each one of us, we need to ask ourselves, how will my giving, how will my life, how will my faith teach and motivate and inspire Christians now and Christians to come? That is really important. Because you see, what we do really does make a difference. But the key thing as Christians is that we do. We act. We don't just stand still. We move forward. And that's why talking about our money and our gifts is so important. In our gospel story for today, a man comes up to Jesus because he's mad. He's mad because his brother won't share the family inheritance. And he tells Jesus, "You make him share with me." Trying to make Jesus the parent, solving a dispute. And Jesus, in response to this man's demand, says this. Luke 12:15. This is the Bible verse I probably quote to myself more than any other verse in the Bible. Even John 3:16. Because this is a verse your pastor needs to hear all the time. Watch out. Be on guard. For a person's life is not based upon the abundance of your possessions. I need to be reminded of that. Why? Because I really like possessions. I like stuff. Every one of us here, we like stuff, don't we? We have a lot of it, don't we? And Jesus reminds us that that's not all there is in life. There is something more. That's why I have to keep reminding myself about that all the time. And he tells the story of the rich fool, a farmer who seems to have it all. He's got the problem of he has so many crops, his barns aren't big enough. So he has to tear down his barns to build bigger barns. It's like the people who buy the $1 million house in River Hills to build the $5 million house, right? They build the $1 million house, tear it down, put up the $5 million. Problems we should all have, right? And so he builds the bigger barns, and when it's all done, he sits back, he kicks his feet up, and he says, "Life's going to be great. I can eat, drink, and be merry." Except he dies that night. And God reminds all of us of this important problem, this important issue we must ask ourselves. Am I living a life that is rich toward God? Is my life one that is rich toward God, or am I in love with possessions? Well, it's time to talk about budgets. And I want you to know that your church council, they are working on the budget for next year. We actually have a special council meeting this week to talk about that. And you need to know that the leaders of your church council are very good stewards of the dollars you give. The men and women you have elected to leadership here at Grace, they are very good and careful and conservative stewards of the money you give. They realize that a church budget in many ways is like a household budget, isn't it? We all have a budget at our house. We have things that we just have to spend money on. And sometimes expenses for those things go up. And if we as our family were doing a remodeling project or we're building a vacation home, we can't just set aside the regular budget to put all our money toward the other budget. We have to keep all those things in mind. That's what your church leaders are doing. And they are working to create a budget, which they'll be sharing with you very soon, that is as conservative as we can possibly be. But you also need to know that just like your budget, the budget at church has some things that go up. Remember last winter? Is it somewhere still in your memory? Okay. We at the Bolgren's house are on the budget plan. We pay the same each month, and then at the end of the year you get a settlement amount. When I saw our settlement amount from last winter, what? Well, obviously here at our church home, the heating bills went up. And if you didn't know it, there's another winter coming. And so we need to be prepared that heating bills will go up. And we need to heat the building. Another issue we are dealing with is health care costs. Anyone here having issues with health care costs going up? Okay. We've received the information from Portico, which is our insurance company here at church for our health benefits for our roster staff. It's going up, folks. And it's going up quite a bit. And the church council, this Thursday, they're meeting to talk about how we want to handle that. But there will be an increase in our budget because of health care costs. We as a congregation would like to do something for our church staff. Now, I'm a member of the church staff, so I'm not going to say much about that today. Mara Schwartz, your council president, will talk about that more next week. But your church staff works very hard. I just want you to say that. Next week, you'll hear more about some of our plans and hopes to help our church staff with their salaries as well. And finally, we as a congregation, we want to do more to give money away to help others. If you're not aware, 10% of all the money we give at Grace goes outside of this building to help our ELCA, to help the Meg's Circle of Empowerment, to help such things as All People's Church, Lutheran Social Services, or our local Bible camps. We want to always work as hard as we can to increase the amount of money we give away. Those are some of the areas where your church leaders are talking about how can we do more. And we can do more through the generosity of our members who give more. And that's the challenge for each one of us, and that's what I want to talk about now. I like this quote. When God takes a look at our checkbook, that's a good look at our priorities. And so I want to talk about a couple of simple ways in which we as members of Grace can look at how we use the finances we have to perhaps do more for next year. A couple of examples. I shared some of these with you last year. If you could find a place for $5 more a week to the church, that adds up to $250 a year more. $5 a week, my daughter likes to go to Fiddleheads. Okay, her jumbo, mocha, whatever it is, you know, that costs about $5 a day. Okay, can you find $5 a week in your household budget to give more? Can you find $10 more in your household budget, okay? A McDonald's meal, my daughter likes the number 13, the classic chicken sandwich meal. That's $7 now, okay? Okay, less than two meals eating out. But if you could find $10 in your household budget to give to the church, that adds up to over $500 a year. If you could perhaps find $20 in your household budget, and again, $20, we got a pizza last night from Papa Murphy's, and with a soda, that comes pretty close to $20. I'm just not saying give up your pizza, but I'm saying work, that's what about that cost. But if you can find $20 more in your household budget, $20 for the work of the Lord, that adds up to $1,000 a year for the work of the church. Or perhaps encourage you thinking about giving an extra percent of your income, such as if you make, say, $50,000 a year and you give $1,500 to the church every year, that's 3% of your income. Could you up that to 4%, which would be another $500? Now, this may seem like a lot to us. It may seem like, oh, I don't think I could possibly do that. But we're asking you to think about it. Pray about it. Be creative in what you can do. And I ask, if you were one of our members who chose not to participate in our Grow in Grace campaign, and that was perfectly fine, no one had to, but I encourage you to think about what you could do extra this year to support the ongoing ministry of our church. Because all of us are in this ministry together. I shared this quote with Anne Frank with you before, that nobody ever got poor from giving. When we give, we are enriched in so many ways. And as we focus on our giving next year, we need to be focused on our goal. And our goal is that we grow as a congregation that serves our Lord Jesus Christ, that we grow as a congregation that enables this building to be a place where others can come. Just this week, we had a couple of women stop in looking for a place where they could have a workshop to help young girls grow in self-esteem so they can battle against drugs. And how wonderful it was to say, you know what? We've got space for you. And next year, we'll have even more space for groups like that. That is wonderful. And one more thing I want you to keep in mind as we stay focused and as we grow in Grace. Next year is our 50th anniversary at Grace. Next year, this congregation turns 50 years old, and we're going to have some wonderful celebrations about that. And we will be able to celebrate success. We will be able to celebrate all the hard work that has been done by all those men and women, boys and girls in this last 50 years to make this church what it is. And I pray that we will always be able to celebrate what the next 50 years will do and bring from Grace Lutheran Church. What this church will be like when maybe a lot of us aren't around. We are called to move forward. The church is always called to move forward. Remember, the hymn is "Onward, Christian soldiers," not "Stand still, Christian soldiers." You and I are called to move forward as the church of God, and God's grace is leading us forward. So, may we all have hearts that are filled with generosity. And may we all, as the Apostle Paul says, excel in the grace of giving. And once again, I thank you for your generosity. I thank you for all you do for the work of the Lord. God bless you for your many wonderful gifts of your time, your talents, and your treasures. And may we all pray that we will do even more, grow even more, and move forward even more as we excel in the grace of giving.